Vayidaber Adonai el Moshe Behar Sinai Lemor. Hashem spoke to Moshe on Mount Sinai, saying, O you Israel presents...
Come in. Welcome.
Shalom and welcome to another issue of Torah Tidbits. I'm your host, Phil Chernofsky, and this show is for Lag BaOmer and Parshat Behar. Recording and first broadcast, Yom Chamishi, Thursday, the 18th day of Iyar, 5775. We counted 33 in the Omer last night, that making today the day we know as Lag BaOmer. And it corresponds to May 7th on the secular calendar. Yesterday was a major holiday in my personal calendar of the year, and I celebrated with a couple of friends and cousins Willie Mays' birthday, May 6th, and even though I'm a day late, I'd like to wish him a very happy 84th birthday. And if I can say Ad Me'ev Esrim, so I say it. As a matter of fact, this is the second radio broadcast that I wished Willie a happy birthday yesterday in the morning on our May 6th in Israel, and it was still May 5th in San Francisco. I called into a phone-in talk show on KNBR Sports Radio San Francisco after the Giants game, and spoke to Marty Lurie and wished Willie a happy birthday then also. Those who know me know my thing with the Giants and know my thing with Willie Mays, but as long as I'm mentioning it, I would like to make the following comment. A kid picks a baseball player and he's a fanatic fan of that baseball player, and he fantasizes and speaks about being a great baseball player like his hero. If that transfers into adulthood, it could either disappear or dissipate, or it could remain some kind of unhealthy fantasy, or the direction that I believe it's supposed to take. If the person who you looked up to as a hero, be it baseball or anything else, has certain personality qualities that are admirable beyond the sphere in which that person exists, then I think that's a more mature adult version of hero worship. And my feelings about Willie Mays have always been not just the number of home runs and the number of hits and the number of triples and stolen bases and catches and fantastic stories, but it was the enthusiasm and excitement that he personally had for his chosen field, the game of baseball. The fact that he engendered that enthusiasm to others, in others, and he truly, truly loved what he did. And those are characteristics that I think anybody can admire in his own field. I have said in the past that I want to be the educator of I want to be like Willie Mays was to baseball in that, in education, or something like that. In any event, enough said on that, because I really should spend time talking about one of our holidays, namely Lag BaOmer, and get into the Parsha as well. But before we do that, let's say Tehillim Kuf Kaf Aleph, Psalm 121, which is the one we use on this show when we don't say Tachanun, and we don't say Tachanun on Lag BaOmer. Shir Lama'alot, Esa Einai El Heharim Me'ayin Yavo Ezri. Ezri Me'im Adonai Osei Shamayim Va'aretz. Al Yitein Lamot Raglecha Al Yanum Shomerecha. Hine Lo Yanum V'lo Yishan Shomer Yisrael. Adonai Shomerecha Adonai Tzilecha Al Yad Yiminecha. Yomam Hashemesh Lo Yakeka V'yareach Balayla. Adonai Yishmorcha Mikol Ra Yishmor Et Nafshecha. Adonai Yishmor Tzeitecha Uvoecha Me'ata V'ad Olam. Achenu kol beit Yisrael, hanetunim batzara uvashivya, ha'omedim bein bayam uvein bayabasha. Hamakom yorachem aleihem v'yotziyem, mitzara lirvacha, umeyafela leora umishibud legeula, hashta ba'agala uvizman kariv v'nomar, amen. Lag BaOmer is a definitely strange holiday in the Jewish calendar. From the non-Hasidic perspective, it's kind of minor. From the Hasidic perspective, based on Kabbalistic teachings, it is a full-blown holiday. As I speak now, there are thousands of Jews up north in Meron, burial place of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, let's call him the hero of Lag BaOmer, the father of Kabbalah, and I am not really the best person to speak of Lag BaOmer in terms of the Hilula, the wild celebrations that take place. I have a much more prosaic approach to Lag BaOmer in its position in the Omer period. So, sorry that it's not going to be that exciting, but let's go to that for a few moments. We've been counting the Omer so far 33 days. We have another 16 to get to 49. And that's based on the mitzvah in the Torah, Usvartem lachem mimachorot haShabbat, miyom aviyachem et omer hatinufa, .. The Torah commands us to count from the day of the bringing of the barley offering, which was the second day of Pesach, until the bringing of the offering known as the Shtei HaLechem, the two loaves, on Shavuot, a period of 7 full weeks, 49 days, and that's Sfirat HaOmer. Originally and in the future, with a Beit HaMikdash, Sfirat HaOmer is a, let's call it a holiday light flavor, where Pesach, even though Pesach is its own holiday, with the first day of Chag and the last day of Chag and 5 intermediate days, different numbers in the States, 2 and 2 with 4 in the between. There's also another way of looking at things, that Pesach is really the beginning of a much larger holiday that stretches all the way to Shavuot. So you still have a Chag at the beginning and a Chag at the end, and the intermediate days of this large Pesach Shavuot, whatever you want to call it, are the days of the Omer, and they have somewhat, or had and will have, somewhat of a minor festive flavor. Then came the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash, and without the barley offering at the beginning and the Shtei HaLechem at the end, and with the specter of mournful period because of the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash, the festive flavor, if there is and will be, if there was and will be anything to the Omer, was sucked out by the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash. That vacuum was filled with a melancholy and light, mournful period, to which was added certain events of the Crusades and of the quashing of the rebellion at the time of Rabbi Akiva and his Talmidim against Rome. And our sources tell us that 24,000 students of Rabbi Akiva, 12,000 pairs of students, perished during this time, and that on the 33rd day of the period they stopped dying, either in this plague or in battle, depending on which sources you look at. So the mournful flavor of the whole Omer period, which manifests itself mostly in the form of not having weddings and not taking haircuts or shaving, and the listening to music, not listening to the music, which sort of flows even thinly from the wedding business, gave a little bit of a mournful period. The 33rd day of the Omer is considered a break in the mournful nature of the whole period, and therefore what the order of the day, again from non-Hasidic sources, is Ketzat Simcha, a little bit of joy, as in contrast to the Ketzat Avelut, the little bit of mourning that is done during the rest of the Omer. Now, I need to flesh this out a little, because the full Omer period of 49 days is not all mournful. Different customs develop, but I would certainly suggest that the first 6 days of the Omer, which is the balance of Pesach and outside of Israel, 7 days, are not manifestly mournful. I mean, we don't get married during Chol HaMoed and we don't take haircuts, but not because of mourning, but because of the festival. So we're already 6 or 7 days chopped off the 49. And then during that period, the custom developed to observe a 33-day period, which either runs from beginning of Pesach until Lag BaOmer and ends with Lag BaOmer in the daytime, or Sfardi custom the next day. Excuse me. And that's not even really a full 33-day period, because I just told you that the balance of Pesach is not mournful, but it's counted anyway. And there are others who say, no, leave Pesach out of it, leave the month of Nisan out of it, and begin the 33-day mournful or slightly mournful period within the Omer period. Start it on Rosh Chodesh Iyar, and run it from then for 33 days, not counting Lag BaOmer. So that puts you into the beginning of Sivan, and once you hit 3 days before Shavuot, you're into the period called Shloshet Yimei Hagbalah, corresponding to the 3 preparatory days to receiving the Torah, and the mournful nature ends then. Now add to the pie Yom HaAtzma'ut, Israel Independence Day, and Yom Yerushalayim, the date of the reunification of Jerusalem during the Six-Day War, and you have 2 festive days, if you observe them, within the Omer period, and add Pesach Sheni and Rosh Chodesh, 2 days for Iyar and 1 day for Sivan, and the Shabbatot. So it's really not a heavy, mournful period at all. In any event, Lag BaOmer is the island in there, and symbolic of the ending of the deaths of the Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva. But it's more than that, because people died, people stopped dying, they continued dying. We don't know exactly what the story is, but that's not the point. The point is why our sources tell us the students of Rabbi Akiva died, and that reason becomes an abject lesson for all of us. And that is, Talmudic scholars they were, but they lacked respect for each other. Exactly what that means, I don't know if we really know, but we have our current flavor of how to understand it. In other words, you're telling me religious people and Talmudic scholars, biblical scholars, can lack respect one from the other. And the answer is, open your eyes and see what happens in our society today. The friction that exists in some circles between Ashkenazim and Edot Mizrach. The friction that begins between religious Zionists and the non-Zionist religious community. The friction that exists between the religious and the secular community. The friction that exists between Hasidim and non-Hasidim, or one sect of Hasidim to another sect of Hasidim, or within one sect of Hasidim, the followers of the older son of the original Rebbe and the followers of the younger son, or the nephew, or the grandson. Unfortunately, we are plagued, and I use the term on purpose, with lack of respect of one person for the other, or groups to the other groups. And this becomes an important lesson that needs to be learned and internalized and acted upon in our own time. So we technically go through the mournful period, yes, because once upon a time, a long time ago, that happened. And then we really need to focus on wake up and smell the hummus, as the expression has been changed here in Israel, and realize that there's a message to this, a message of mourning the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash, mourning the causes of the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash, mourning the perpetuation of no Beit HaMikdash, because we still have things to work on. And I don't mean to sound so down and depressing, which when we get into Bahar and contrast it to Bechukotai of next week, you'll see that there's something to draw these two things together. So I personally don't listen to regular music during the Sfira period, because I observe Yom Ha'atzmaut and Yom Yerushalayim as festive days, and I do listen to music, and I shave in honor of Yom Ha'atzmaut, and I shave again in honor of Yom Yerushalayim, which this year will be next Friday, rather, because you can't do it on Shabbat, and Motzoi Shabbat is already Yom Yerushalayim, then I sort of take the whole period of the Omer, because I allow myself the islands of joy in the form of Yom Ha'atzmaut, Lag BaOmer, and Yom Yerushalayim. That's pretty much the story. Kabbalistic significance of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai and the association with the period of the Omer and with Lag BaOmer turned Lag BaOmer into a wildly festive occasion. Bonfires all over the country, first aid and firefighters working overtime through the night, keeping an eye on things. In those locations in the various cities where the bonfires tend to get kind of big, you have sometimes fire trucks deployed and on the spot, on location, and MADA personnel in case of need of immediate first aid and things like that. For kids, it means hot dogs and baked potatoes and marshmallows and singing around the campfire. And that's, you know, again, I'm not doing justice to the Hasidic side of it, but you'll have to listen to another show or another discussion for that. I just want to say Lag BaOmer is a festive date on the calendar during the period that lost its festive nature because of the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash. Which means it's sort of a forward-pointing holiday, as, by the way, I believe Yom HaAtzmaut and Yom Yerushalayim are, where we get the sense that if we pull our act together in the proper way, then we will be able to move on and restore the festive nature to the entire Omer period, because then truly Pesach will celebrate coming out of Egypt, and the days until Shavuot are not just counting towards the days of receiving the Torah, but the days of entering Eretz Yisrael, and having a Beit HaMikdash, and bringing Bikurim, and fulfilling all the mitzvot of the land, and all the mitzvot of the Torah the way they should be. So, one of the things we have to work on, and the Omer reminds us, and Lag BaOmer reminds us, is more mutual respect. Does not mean homogenizing people's opinions and behavior, but it means being cognizant of the fact that there are different ways that Judaism is practiced, and I'm talking about within proper halachic guidelines. I won't get into now the divergent streams as they are known, but not a bad way of thinking about it is that we are one Jewish people, and we need to pull more together than we actually are at this time. I had wanted to play a song before the half ended, but I think I'll be doing it at the beginning of the second half, so I don't go the whole show without music. I have two pieces waiting, but I will introduce what I want to play when we start the second half, which is in a moment. Okay, you're listening to Torah Tidbits Audio for Lag BaOmer, which we pretty much, I said what I wanted to say. I'll say a little bit more in introducing the song that I had hoped to play in the first half, and then after that we'll talk about Parshat HaShavua. The song is Sheyibane HaMikdash, may the Beit HaMikdash be rebuilt, and as I expressed earlier, that's the bottom line and the summary of the whole business. We're in an awkward period of the calendar because we don't have a Beit HaMikdash. We don't have a Beit HaMikdash because we perpetuate some of the sins of our predecessors without learning those lessons. So that's our challenge. And here is Sheyibane HaMikdash. I really should also tell you it's from an album by Gideon Levine. The album is called The Best of the Best, to the track Sheyibane. Shabbat Shalom.
potoy be yirki me yoyin dom den ay den ay den ay dom ay den ay den ay dom shey bon beiz amigdosh ay den ay den ay dom ay den ay den ay dom shey bon beiz amigdosh
shey bon beiz amigdosh bim me heyda bi a me nu shey bon beiz amigdosh bim me heyda bi a me nu shey bon Shom na vod cho, na vod lo beyido. Shom na vod cho, oy beyido ki meyoy lo. Shom na vod cho, na vod so beyido. Shom na vod cho, oy beyido ki meyoy lo. Shei bone, beis amigos. Shei bone, beis amigos. Shei bone, beis amigdosh, b'meheira b'yameinu. Shei bone, beis amigdosh, b'meheira b'yameinu. Shei bone, beis amigdosh, b'meheira b'yameinu. Shei bone, shom navod chon, navod chon b'yido.
Shei bone, beis amigdosh, b'meheira b'yameinu.
Okay, to review towards reducing possible confusion. Outside of Israel, this Shabbat, the parsha that is read is Emor, which we read last Shabbat. Next week, outside of Israel, they read the combination of Behar and Bechukotai. We, in Israel, split Behar and Bechukotai. We read Behar this week, Bechukotai by itself next week, while Behar and Bechukotai are being read in Chutz La'aretz. And that brings us back into sync, which we lost on the eighth day of Pesach in Chutz La'aretz, and we don't have an eighth day of Pesach. So it was a six-week period. That would make it Shmini, Tazria Metzora, Achrei Kedoshim, Emor, Behar, and Bechukotai for us, and Behar Bechukotai next week combined. Now, personally, let me also say that in all 12-month years, those are the years that are called Shana Peshuta, outside of Israel, Behar and Bechukotai are combined, as Acharei and Kedoshim were combined, and as Tazria and Metzora were combined. In Israel, we combine Tazria Metzora and Acharei and Kedoshim, but when a Shana Peshuta falls out that the first Seder, I shouldn't say that, the Seder, is Friday night, first day of Pesach is Shabbat, then we split Behar and Bechukotai, and outside of Israel, they don't. In a Shana Me'uberet, a 13-month year with two Adars, as next year is scheduled to be, and Pesach next year will run from Shabbat to Friday for us, Shabbat to Shabbat in Chutz La'aretz. So we'll be in a situation again where we'll be out of sync, but we won't have a Behar Bechukotai to split, since it's already split for everyone, and it won't be till Matot Masei in the summertime that we will be able to separate while in Chutz La'aretz it's combined. so that we go back into sync for Parashat Devarim. But we'll talk about that in Mirat Hashem next year sometime. Fact, we read Bahar, and that's what I want to focus on now. Even though, if you're listening in Chutz La'aretz, it's not your upcoming Sedra, it's the one after it. Parshat Bahar is one of the smallest parshiot in the Torah. It starts with the very, very famous verse, Vayidaber Hashem El Moshe. The more common ending would be Lemor. God spoke to Moshe, saying. This time it says, and God spoke to Moshe, Behar Sinai Lemor, on Mount Sinai. So the commentaries all make the point by saying, wait a minute, God spoke to Moshe always on Har Sinai. I mean, he gave the Torah on Har Sinai and taught and explained everything to Moshe there. So why all of a sudden are we mentioning the location when all the other times that the verse says, and God spoke to Moshe, we know where it was, and it just says, Lemor. Then we see what follows. What follows are the prohibitions of Shemitah, the sabbatical year, so that Rashi formulates the question as Ma Inyan Shemitah Eitzel Har Sinai. What is the specific connection between Shemitah that the opening verse in this Sedra had to say, and God spoke to Moshe on Har Sinai? Would we doubt that he spoke to God, that God spoke to Moshe on Har Sinai? We know that. So why does it mention it, and why specifically is that verse followed by the laws of Shemitah and then Yovel? So one of the answers is that since Har Sinai was a location outside of Israel, and Shemitah and Yovel are specifically Israel-oriented mitzvot, then this makes an important statement and connection. Don't think that just because the Torah was given outside of Israel, you can stay outside of Israel. You need to make the connection to the land so that all of Torah can be observed in the land of Israel. If that's not what some of the commentaries say, that's what I'm saying on this particular connection. In fact, what I have in the past done is taken a perspective that criticizes the question. Ma inyan Shemitah Eitzel Har Sinai? What does Shemitah have to do with Har Sinai? The answer is everything. Because Shemitah represents Eretz Yisrael, and Har Sinai represents Torah, and Eretz Yisrael and Torah should be an inseparable pair, like a body and a soul. Unfortunately, a wedge has developed over a long period of time, which has managed to separate people's perceptions and perspectives on Torah and on the land of Israel, to the point where you get some people who say, we have everything we need for a complete Jewish life, what do we need Israel for? And you have other people who say, we have Israel, what do you need Torah for? And that can be sort of summarized when anyone asks the question, what does one thing have to do with the other? The answer is, they have to be together. There's no such thing. No, let's put it differently. God's original plan, his original plan as stated to Moshe at the burning bush. I've said this countless times over the years in different contexts. His plan was to take us out of Egypt, bring us to Eretz Yisrael, and give us the Torah on the way. That was the plan. So what do you mean, Ma Inyan Shemitah Eitzel Har Sinai? You should know that in modern Hebrew, regular Hebrew, Ma Inyan Shemitah Eitzel Har Sinai is a known expression to the English equivalent of what does that have to do with the price of tea in China? Or whatever other variations of that you might know. When someone says, what does that have to do with the price of tea in China? He means, you just mentioned two things. What does one have to do with the other? And that, in Hebrew colloquialism, is Ma'inyan Shemitah Eitzel Har Sinai. And I wonder if there are people who use that expression without knowing where it comes from, the Rashi on the beginning of Parshat Bahar, and what's behind that particular question. The official answer that Rashi gives is that just like the laws of Shemitah are spelled out in detail here, even though they were not mentioned in the presentation of the Ten Commandments in Parshat Yitro, here they're with detail to teach us that all mitzvot were given at Har Sinai and taught to Moshe with detail. And that's a very important concept also. Rabbi Beryl Wine wrote something beautiful on another understanding of this. If the people are now in the wilderness, the barren wilderness, and they are going to be there for 40 years, it's a very special thing for God to assure them that even though things are crude and harsh here in the wilderness, you will have a land, and the land will have agriculture, and the agricultural rules such as sabbatical year, and the ultimate of that set, Yovel, will take place in the future, so don't despair of just wandering around in the wilderness. So there are a lot of little ways that you could describe this. I just thought I'd insert a little piece of Hasidic nigun, especially since I didn't do the Hasidic side of Lag BaOmer any justice. This is a track from an album, and the track is actually called Nigun Hasidi. Let's get back on track, speaking of which. After the mitzvot of Shemitah and Yovel, which I'm not going to talk about now, but I should, you get to an interesting new topic which flows from the presentation of Yovel, and that is general business ethics. Interesting. The Torah uses an example of taking advantage, of not taking advantage, of a person who does not realize when the next Yovel comes, and the fact that land reverts to its original owners at the time. In other words, if I offer to sell you the Brooklyn Bridge, you'll know that I'm conning you because I don't own the Brooklyn Bridge to sell. But if I offer to sell you a tract of land in Israel, you might think that, and you check that I do have ownership on it, so you might pay me a certain amount, thinking in terms of many, many years that you will have to cultivate that land and to produce with it and earn money or build or whatever. If it turns out that in just a short few years, Yovel is expected and the land will revert to its original tribal owners, then in essence I have deceived you in paying top dollar for land which has only a short-term lease left. That leads to a whole topic called ona'ah, And that is defraud and taking advantage of someone who does not have all the information that you have. It could be passing off a copy of a painting, a good quality copy, as an original, or something that is used and shined up as something that is new. And all different forms of business practices that should be shunned because of deceit and fraud stem from the context of Yovel, which means that in this very short Sedra of Bahar, we've gone from specifically Shemitah, specifically Yovel, into a broader category of Jewish law, and that is proper business conduct and ethics. We also have gone into another form of Ona'ah, known as Ona'at Devarim, which means hurting someone with words. Yes, sticks and stones may break my bones, but names can hardly harm me, something like that. Not really true. Calling names and reminding people of their past that they would rather not be reminded of, and bothering people and taking up a storekeeper's time by asking questions, giving him the impression that you are interested in buying something when you're just basically having fun. All of these things fit into the category of Onat Devarim. Then the Torah comes to make an important link. It's, you don't do this, you fear God, because God is God. Then it generalizes. Va'asitem et chukotai, ve'et mishpatai tishmeru va'asitem otam. You shall perform, do, keep my ordinances, my judgments, my mitzvot. Vishavtem al ha'aretz lavetach. As a result, you will be able to live securely in your land. And v'natna ha'aretz pirya, the earth, the land will give forth its fruits. V'achaltem lasova, and you will eat to satiation. V'shavtem lavetach aleha, and you will dwell in security on the land. This is a promise from God that if we, the Jewish people, keep the mitzvot, then we, the Jewish people, will be not only entitled to live in this land, but also to live in this land securely and economically strong. This is something that come next week, we are blasted in Bechukotai with the downside. If you don't keep the mitzvot, then, we'll talk about that next week, terrible, terrible things. But before the deal is so harshly presented in Bechukotai, we have an opportunity here in Bahar to say, okay, we have mitzvot to keep, let's keep them. The result will be living peacefully and tranquilly in Eretz Yisrael and economically strong. What's wrong with that? Sounds like a plan. The fact is that the Torah repeats this simple formula, this promise. If you do and keep the mitzvot as a nation, as individuals, then there will be good things for you. And if you don't, things will be bad. So sometimes we hear the good side, and sometimes we hear both sides in a light presentation. I would say that the second passage of the Shema does not hit us over the head, but definitely speaks about following God or not following God, and reward and punishment, therefore. But then you have the Tochacha in Bechukotai, and again in Ki Tavo, different but very, very heavy. And we have periodic, constant reminders in the Torah of promises for good things if we keep the mitzvot, and warnings of dire consequences if we don't. For individuals, the reward and punishment is partially in this world and mostly in the world to come. For the people of Israel, it is very much tied in how we exist in this world, and we need to pay attention to these gentle reminders before we need to be hit over the head, as we will be in Parshat Bechukotai. Not the best note on which to end the show, so let me go back a step and wish you a Lag Sameach, if you're listening still on Lag BaOmer, enjoy, and Shabbat Shalom, Lehishtameach.